Good evening. I'd like to call this regular meeting of the McDonald Local Board of Education to order at 7 p.m. May we have the roll call?
Mr. Capizalo.
Here.
Mr. Hannon.
Here.
Mrs. Claes.
Here.
Mrs. Higgins.
Here.
Mr. Sagan.
Here.
Five board members present.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item tonight is to approve the agenda for this meeting. You've all had an opportunity to look at the draft agenda. Are there any additions, corrections, substitutions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved.
Seconded.
I'm going to have to get a clarification on the movement.
So moved.
Oh, I did not hear. We need to get you a microphone. If I can't hear you right here, how are they supposed to hear you?
I couldn't call that tie.
Tie.
Motion duly made by Mrs. Higgins and seconded by Mr. Capizalo. Is there any discussion upon the motion? Hearing none, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Capizalo?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mrs. Claes?
Yes.
Mr. Sagan?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Motion carries. We are going to go into executive session this evening at the end of the meeting, and the items for which we will be going into executive session are A2, A7, and B. But there will not be any business conducted after we emerge from executive session. At this time, we would like to recognize visitors who would like to present. And on for our schedule tonight, we have Mr. Messier on soccer updates.
Get over here so everybody can hear me. Good evening, and thanks for having me out here. For those of you who don't know who I am, again, my name is John Messier, pretty much a lifetime resident of the village here. And what I want to do is just talk briefly about the fact that all these kids over here are part of the McDonald Club soccer team and kind of their efforts throughout this fall season and the success we had. You know, probably about a year ago, you know, I approached the administration about just putting a sign-up sheet and see what kind of interest we got. And we had been part of 30 kids, which really surprised us. And you know, I guess on the good side, with the different coaches up here too, is we didn't affect or pull anyone away from other sports. These are folks who just love to play soccer. And, you know, we kind of look at that as a positive, you know, from the standpoint of McDonald and potentially a future program here. So, you know, what we did is we you know, looked at the kids and got a good feel for their age brackets and how they fit into the overall scheme of things. And another positive is we have a lot of young kids on the team. Very dynamic group of mostly freshmen and, well, sophomores and juniors now as they move up into next year's play. We kicked off in the spring, and fortunately we had a couple of parents that really stepped up. Mike Redman here, pretty much tapped the head coach position. Dave Rexrode was pretty much his right-hand man throughout the whole season, and Joby Muller was always there to help out where he could and then whenever we needed him. Again, it was a very good success. You know, being a young team, we didn't really expect to win any games. But we did. We won one game. We tied several, and we were very competitive across the board. And we played some big schools. We played Campbell, Girard, Hubbard, Mineral Ridge. And a lot of these schools have very well-established programs. And we hung with them. We're very competitive. So I guess what I want to do is kind of end the night here by just asking the board if they consider allowing us to become a sanctioned McDonald soccer team. So, Mike, Dave, Joby, anyone had anything, I guess, to add? But that's next. As the folks for being here, give some background about where we were in the last several months here, the success of the team, and our intent is, again, to move forward and again become a sanctioned soccer team for McDonald.
Question.
Yes.
Is this just boys or boys and girls teams?
It'll be a co-ed team.
A co-ed team.
And a lot of the schools we played, like again, Mineral Ridge has been, we followed a lot of their initial structure, and their coach helped us out a lot with kind of helping us get off the ground as well. Camel as co-ed, Badger, so there's quite a few teams that play, or not Badger, who's the other one, Heartland Christian. So like three or four teams that play this year that were also co-ed, but our focus will be co-ed team.
Okay, would that be in a league? Is that, I'm trying to understand.
Oh, yes, yes, it'd be, and Josh may have more detail on that, but there are, of course, like every other, you know, high school team, there's a set league you participate in. There are schools outside of that that we would be interested in playing. In fact, I understand a few have already contacted us after our outing this year, thinking we looked a pretty good mark, you know, out there over the past several months. But yes, it'd be a defined league of teams that you'd want to play, of course, and then some outside of that that you could bring on board.
That's good. I can tell you this, then, when we talk about putting a new football field wherever, it was going to be soccer ready, because it's a different size, am I correct? How much wider or longer?
It's wider, same length.
Like how much wider, 5 feet, 20 feet?
I think you got about, 8, 9 feet on each side, so yeah, about 18 almost feet, 16 okay. feet.
Go, Josh.
The middle ridge goes 2 yards on each side.
But what's the standard one, though?
You don't have a standard, just whatever the facility holds. So ridge goes 5 feet deep into the end zone, or 5 yards deep in the end zone, 2 feet wide on each side.
So I guess it doesn't matter then the sizes of.
And to our knowledge, and I know we played Camel, for example, we played on their, and Hubbard and the other schools in Ridge, we played on their standard football field. The difference that we noticed was just the width of the field. The end zone, the goal to progress against the end zone, the goal line. And then again, you came out, as you mentioned, 2 yards on each side. I didn't really mention just, but yes, it is definitely a wider field.
Sean,
about many large amounts.
Sean, were we the only club team, or were there other schools that were not sanctioned yet?
We were the only club team to play this year. And what's interesting is how receptive these other schools were to McDonald coming out. In fact, most of them were pretty excited that there's another team out there that can play. So it went, again, very well. The coaches were, again, very helpful in helping to direct us. But we were, this year, the only club team that was part of the efforts. And again, everyone else was high school teams.
Just out of curiosity, what's the feeder system for teaching the kids who are on your team now soccer?
It's kind of twofold. One, to kind of explain real quick where they gained their experience and then how we're going to build on that. But most of these kids, either through like Girard, Niles, Austintown, there are several communities that have got pretty well established younger teams or junior high school teams.
This is like rec league?
It is rec, but some of them are considered travel.
Okay.
So, they're a little bit of a step above. Like Girard is more in a rec league, but Niles and Austintown both have, and they can probably add more to this, but they are more of a full-fledged travel team. And that's where most of these kids gain experience. And what's interesting is a lot of teams we've played, and again, look at Camel and Middle Ridge, I think we've all heard some of these schools, they've got some very good programs. They've got a good percentage of their players that are, when I say travel, I mean they hit the Midwest. I mean, you know, you've got that too. So it's a lot of effort, a lot of training, a lot of talent. You know, these guys, they can look at almost like the Mad News Bears in a way. I mean, we just got some pure talent, and kids want to go out and play, and you know, they've learned on their own.
Without the behavioral issues.
What's that?
Without the behavioral issues.
What was the coach's name on that?
I don't remember.
So, John, would you want from this board to make decisions by next spring?
Ideally, sure. I mean, we've already had calls from schools looking to sign up with us. But that would be our interest, sure, to see if we can potentially come next year, next season, to get a full-fledged team.
Does that have to go through unions, contracts, and things?
If we look to hire a head coach officially from the school standpoint, then we would have to meet with our union and talk about adding something to the back page of that contract. It's something I know that Mr. Krumpak and I know had a chance. We went out and saw these guys play against Middle Ridge earlier this year. So I know that we're more than willing to want to sit down, take a look at the roster, try to get a makeup of the age groups, like you said before, and take a look at that whole picture there and use that guidelines that Middle Ridge made successful and kind of see where we're at. So we make sure if we do it right. And we do it for hopefully something that could be established and stay for a long time.
And that, one thing I'm sorry, but I didn't add to your first question was from the feeder system. The state, and I propose the organization that's promoting that, Northeast Ohio.
It's the Northeast Ohio Board of.
Athletics, whatever, but they're pushing the fifth through eighth grade tier of kids to gain interest. So for example, Middle Ridge is going to jump in this year if they didn't have enough kids, but we, McDonald, can team up with them, and it's a local travel team. When I say local, probably within about maybe 10 to 15 mile radius of schools you would hit. And it's really designed to gain the interest of younger kids. Plus, there's a lot of kids already in the grade school level that are playing over in Girard and Niles and Austintown. So there's, you know, when you look at those teams that are going to see the games, a vast majority of kids are from McDonald. Well, which is a majority, but a lot of them on each team. So we definitely have an interest here in the village. You know, we have people that have expressed the willingness or the interest in having special camps during spring and summer months, again, geared toward the younger kids. So there's been a lot of interest that has come up since we got this program up and running, is to say, well, what can we help out? How can we drive this thing forward? So I think from a feeder system, there's a lot out there. But again, it can definitely be outlined much more, you know, concisely what you're looking for.
When Mineral Ridge did it, how many years was it from when they started their club to when they converted to a varsity sport?
I believe they went the full 2 years. I think 2 years is the max, but they went, I believe they, I don't like, remember what was it? Okay, yeah, they did go 2 years. They approached up the first year, mm-hmm. and then they were asked to go one more year just to validate.
So the 2 years isn't mandatory? I'm sorry, John.
No, it's okay.
No, it's not mandatory.
It's not, okay.
A lot, like Girard, they went 1 year. So a lot of schools that have, and the recent put together club teams, they've gone 1 year. Ridge, in this case, they did go two. I think for maybe similar concerns, you have the size of the student body and we maintain the interest. I mean, again, I don't see any real concern, especially when you see the roster and where most of the kids fall into. We've got, I think, three seniors next year, but three juniors this year. But 80% of the team they were sophomores and freshmen, and then younger. So we've got quite a strong interest in.
Now, the teams that you played this year, is there a concept of varsity, junior high, or is that kind of mushed together?
What we're set up is, we typically would go after the JV teams, but a lot of the schools, like again, Middle Ridge, we found out, even Girard, Camel, even some bigger schools, they don't necessarily have enough kids to field a full JV team. So they would always put a couple of their varsity players on there. And in fact, when we played Ridge, their coach called us ahead of time and said, do you mind if we play some of our starters a little more in length, just to give you a feel for it? And they have one kid who's from Brazil, and say no more. And the coach's son, who is very talented soccer player. And, you know, again, you know, it stressed us a bit, but we helped with them. Mm-hmm. So in answer to the question, we were always up against true varsity teams. Or JV with the varsity mix.
Would there be, assuming you had enough interest at the player level, would there be opportunities to have like a junior high team, a JV team, a varsity team, or kind of somewhere in between?
I don't think any schools have junior high teams, but definitely JV. Yes, you would have a varsity and JV. You already have, and that was the biggest challenge this year with all that many kids. How do you adequately sub? That may be over two teams sit on the side, you know, on the sidelines, and that was a challenge, was getting all these kids in there. So yeah, I would say without, fairly assured that we'd have enough for a varsity and a JV team, just like the competing schools and rugby schools.
And this is a fall or spring sport or both?
Fall. Now there will be spring activities. Those will be some of the feeder programs we've talked about. We would definitely encourage the kids to stay active, whether it be indoor, the drawer, Niles, you know, Austintown leagues. Yes, there will be opportunities, of course, throughout the year, but this will be a designated fall sport.
Thank you for taking this on.
Yeah.
All of us know it's been conversation for a long time now, so we appreciate you bringing it
to
the table.
Thank you, and wasn't for, you know, Mike Redman and Dave Rexroad and then Joey Beller, and other parents as well, but those three in particular. Really stepped up and helped out, really drove the program. And of course, the kids, they had something to do with it, huh?
Did you raise money for uniforms and stuff? How did you do that? Just remind me.
We did charge for uniforms. I think it was $35 we charged for the first time, but I went out and we did get some donations. And so, yes, we're trying to raise funds in that order as well, but we did ask for payment primarily for uniform costs. Ref fees were pretty much covered this year because we were clubbed by the teams that we were playing. They just said, hey, you know what, we're going to have you out here, just you know, show up and we'll cover the ref fees. And we did have a couple games here too, at the old grade school, just as kind of like pickup games. But there's a team from Girard that primarily travel, the younger kids, but they came here for two scrimmages. So again, there's definitely excitement out there. The neighboring schools, the CSI, and the soccer team together.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
Can I just ask one question? I imagine all the kids here are on the team?
Pretty much this half over it. Anyone here?
They're government.
Can you stand up and see them?
For the kids that were on the team, how many of you played a sport prior to this in the fall? At McDonald? How many of you played a sport in the fall prior to having this club team? Nobody? How many people are on the soccer team this year?
Who's playing soccer?
Can the soccer kids just stand up so they can see who you are? That's all. There we go.
All right, and raise your hand if you played a fall sport last year.
Cross country runner.
Cross country.
So two of eight.
But Mikey, you still did cross country, right? Yeah.
In fact, most of the teams, like Renee, my daughter's playing, they encouraged you to do cross country with it because it built up your endurance. So that was, and who was the other person to play the sport?
Hunter put his hand up, but he was supposed to.
Oh, okay, so really. So one out of, and I think on a team, the vast majority, I think one gal came to play because she had real bad shin splints because of rough terrain across country, but she was more than able to run or play soccer just because of the softer turf and things like that had a different effect on her legs. But like you said, it's very little, if any, effect on the other sports programs, which, again, was one of my big concerns.
Well, that's usually the debate that you hear, yeah.
It's a true concern. We're small, and it's hard to field all these. But again, almost all of them are truly just people on the play soccer.
No, and I wasn't saying it from that spot. Actually, I wanted to see, because having more sports available to the kids is obviously something that I think all five of us have talked about. That's important to the school system.
Yeah, what you said.
You guys could sit down, sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Williams, how long has it been since we had soccer? Because McDonald used to have soccer, right?
We had a soccer team 1 year back in 1987.
That was it?
For 1 year because there was predominantly a senior group of guys that wanted to play.
Okay.
And it was never really a team. It was like a club we have here started and it lasted 1 year, you know, so we've never had it since, but that's all the record I have.
Okay. I kind of remembered that, yeah. Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to be recognized tonight? Okay. And we'll move on. Our next item of business is approval of the minutes from the regular meeting of September 25th, 2017. You've had an opportunity to look at those draft minutes. Is there any additions, corrections, changes? Hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mr. Capozzello and seconded by Mrs. Kleiss. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mr. Capozzello?
Yes.
Mrs. Kleiss?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
5 yes votes.
Motion carries. Any old business to bring before the board? And we'll move to new business. First item is Finance Committee. Mr. Hannon, chairing.
Just for tonight, there's a 3-page report from Mr. Johnson regarding our first 2 years of the 10-year plan and 5-year plan. I just want to have it presented to Mrs. Stripp that she could put the minutes in case they don't hear it or read it.
Okay. So
it's again, you did an outstanding job. All the numbers, what we could do, the economics, and it's the talk of the past. So I just want to interject that tonight.
Okay.
And also, we have a couple of resolutions I would hope our colleagues would support.
Okay. With respect to that report, if you just want to make sure that gets in, Mr. Johnson, that'd be great. Thank you.
Mrs. Clayton.
Nothing to add.
Anything? Okay. Then we will move on to business. First item is the approval of the Treasurer's Financial Report for September 2017, comprised of the check register, financial summary, and the bank reconciliation. Upon the recommendation of the District Treasurer, I call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mr. Hand and seconded by Mrs. Clayton. Is there any discussion upon the motion?
Now, just to comment again, that the reports are timely and thorough and make sense, and you did a great job. Thank you for that.
Okay. Then let's go forward and vote upon the motion.
Mr. Hannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Clayes?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Sagenich?
Yes.
Mr. Capizola?
Yes.
5 yes votes.
Motion carries. Next item is a resolution to approve the fiscal year 2018 five-year forecast. Copy of that forecast is attached to this agenda as Exhibit A. Upon the recommendation of the District Treasurer, I call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mr. Hannon and seconded by Mrs. Clayes. Is there any discussion upon the motion?
Well, obviously, we have several pages. If you want to make some comments, sir.
For those that aren't familiar, the five-year forecast is a document that's required by the state. It's basically the financial plan of the district. And it has a structure to it where it gives 3 years of history. The years are in the columns. And then the first three are actual revenues that we receive and expenditures. And then the following 5 years are projected. What this does is help the board understand where they are financially and if they may need any kind of boost in the future, or if they're, you know, if they may need a levy or something like that. Our forecast looks very good, really strong, and it doesn't look like we will need anything other than possibly renewing our levies into the future. So, it's in very good shape. The other organization is the revenue is at the top. So the larger revenues are the state money and then the local taxes. And you can see what those are in the various lines running across. And then the expenditures, again, we're service industry, so the largest expenditures are the salaries and benefits, those two line items. This report doesn't mean anything by itself because numbers don't really speak to what's deeper in the running of the district. So that requires notes and assumptions. So attached to it, you'll find various notes and different assumptions that go with the numbers. So you can understand the numbers deeper if you read, here's a section on real estate taxes, here's a section on state funding. So you can read through this and very quickly understand what a school district is trying to accomplish, what they have accomplished, and their various goals and methods of operation and how fiscally healthy they are. So we're very lucky here to be in a healthy school district and with a bright future, and very excited about that. So, if you want to take time to read it and have questions, please call the office. We're there every day to help people understand the finances of the district and be open about what we have and where we're going. So that's it.
Thank you. Anything else? Hearing none, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mrs. Clayes?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Sagenich?
Yes.
Mr. Capizola?
Yes.
5 yes votes.
Motion carries. Our next item is a resolution to approve a contract with Cintas for mats and mops for the school district covering 2017-2018 school year. This is the fifth year of a five-year contract, and the prices have remained the same. Upon the recommendation of the district treasurer, I call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mr. Hannon and seconded by Mrs. Clayes. Is there any discussion upon the motion?
five-year, end of fifth-year thing, nothing new.
Absolutely.
Obviously, we negotiate another five-year contract, do you do that?
That's what they'll come back in for, yep.
Good.
Well, let's vote upon the motion.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mrs. Claes?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Capizello?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Motion carries. Our next item is a resolution to approve the service agreement with Gardner for water treatments at both the high school and elementary school from October 1st, 2017 through September 30, 2018 at a cost of $1,800 per year. Copy of that contract is attached to this agenda as Exhibit B. Upon the resolution of the district treasurer, I call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mr. Hannon and seconded by Mrs. Claes. Is there any discussion upon the motion?
Yeah, I would like the superintendent to enlighten us on this.
Basically, these are the different chemicals that we used in the water treatment plants for both buildings. Same contract that we had last year with Gardner. It's something that Mr. Johnson and I did sit down and talk about, that we're going to like to take a look at options as we move forward in the future. Right now, there's no issues with Gardner on the service side, but we want to put this out there a little broader and see if there's any other providers. Maybe we can get that cost down a little bit lower.
Just out of curiosity, what is the treatment to the water?
Now you're talking about some different chemicals that are involved. I'd have to look back here to remember the names of those chemicals that are in there. Basically, they talk about it. It's called a LoopGuard 62 and a LoopGuard 269. And it does talk about the glycol and the different chemicals that are going into the system.
So is this a purification or?
I wouldn't call it a purification.
It would be similar to your radiator and, yeah. You know, the rust inhibitors go in there and the antifreeze protection goes in there, and if it gets low, if you have, anything leaves the system, then the balance goes out. So they're constantly testing it, and if there's rust that the rust inhibitors absorbing, then it tends to lose its. So then they have to replenish that. So they do the thing like you might have done in the old days, where you put the specific gravity tester in there, and so many, things that float indicate whether you add or. So it's like that, or pool chemicals.
I know this is bad asking science questions. That's kind of unfair. I was just generally curious.
He got us into chemistry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was.
Is that the maintenance, so we don't have maintenance?
Yeah, it's
exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Any additional discussion? Hearing none. let's vote upon the motion.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mrs. Claes?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Mr. Capizello?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Motion carries. We move to Personnel Committee. Mrs. Claes, chairperson. Any reports tonight? Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll move into business. First item is a resolution to approve Jeff Studer as the technology coordinator as the authorized representative to submit and certify E-rate forms. Upon the recommendation of the district superintendent, I call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mrs. Claes and seconded by Mrs. Higgins. Is there any discussion upon the motion? Hearing none, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mrs. Claes?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Mr. Capizello?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Motion carries. The next item is a resolution to approve Diane Fosachek as EMIS coordinator as a representative to submit and certify E-rate forms. Upon the recommendation of the district superintendent, I call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mrs. Claes and seconded by Mrs. Higgins. Any discussion upon the motion? Hearing none, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mrs. Claes?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Capizello?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Motion carries. Next item is a resolution to approve the following personnel for professional leave as set forth on the days for the events and at the amounts specified in the agenda. Upon recommendation of the district superintendent, call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mrs. Claes and seconded by Mrs. Higgins. Is there any discussion upon the motion? Hearing none, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mrs. Claes?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mr. Capizello?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Motion carries. Move to the Policy Committee. Mrs. Higgins, chairperson.
several updates that we need to approve. Nothing really major, one specifically to speak of, but other than that, it's all just minor word changes.
Do you want to elaborate on the one in particular?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
The one that is a major change right now would be the Business Advisory Council to the Board. This is something that the state started to discuss last year. It is going to be something that they're going to be looking for every school board to have a Business Advisory Council. It basically consists of non-voting members of the board. The challenge to that is obviously finding people and bringing them on board, and especially when in small towns like we are, where there's business and industry is not as prevalent. So what the Trumbull County Educational Service Center is doing is they've actually petitioned the state to allow that board to create their Business Advisory Council that would serve for all schools within Trumbull County. So we'd be able to gain representation through them and talk with county leadership and county business people, which I think would be very beneficial for a smaller district like ourselves. So that's something that they're working on right now, waiting for the okay from the state, but everything at this point looks like that's going to get approved. So it could be a very good option for us.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to business. Our first item is a resolution to approve the first reading of the following policies, and they are as elaborated in...
Right now.
We're doing it right now.
Okay.
As set forth in the agenda. On the recommendation of the district superintendent, I call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mrs. Higgins and seconded by Mr. Capozzello. Is there any discussion upon the motion? Hearing none, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Capozzello?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mrs. Klase?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
5 yes votes.
Motion carries. We next move to Building and Grounds Committee. Mr. Capozzello, chairperson. Is there a report this evening?
We did have a meeting on October 18th at 5:15. There weren't a whole lot of us here, but we did have myself, Mr. Hannon, Mr. O'Connell, and then in the audience we had Gary Carquito, Eric Jones, Josh Crompact was here, Donna Shields, Jody Klase, Stacy Foster, and Mrs. Sanson. And basically we had some things on our agenda that we need to go over for some different improvements around the building. Security cameras. We're going to have a motion to approve GPD, which will give us the ability then to go to them to have them draw up plans to actually put these things out for bid. So the first six items we talked about were security cameras in the school. There's some issues in the back of the building. We don't know what's causing it, so there's actually some research that's going to have to be done by GPD and some investigation for that masonry repair. And then in the auditorium, we have some stage rigging that needs improved. There's some drainage issues along the back side of the building. Water's running down the asphalt, and basically it's going into our weight room. We're going to improve some trench drain and stuff around there, which once again, GPD is going to put some stuff together. The restrooms in the gymnasium, the door jams basically need to be widened. That's something we're going to look at. We won't necessarily go to GPD for that one. I think Mr. Carquito was going to reach out to somebody.
Yeah, we've actually had two contractors that have already came in to take a look at that, and we're anticipating having some numbers back by the end of this week. So,
which we'd like, we're basically going to try to get that done, obviously, before basketball season. Which
right now, those door jams, when they measure out, they're about 31 and a half inches. The minimum is 32 if you look on state standards. By taking those jams out, we're going to be at 36, which 36 is a much more standard number for that. So by taking those jams out, obviously the difficulty is they're concreted in.
Yeah.
So.
And that's just to improve the handicap access to those facilities, obviously. We also discussed an elevator or access from Iowa Avenue. Mr. Hannon, I don't know if you want to expand on that one at all.
We looked at a lot of options there. Putting a ramp in, we probably have a ramp down to the old Grayskull property to make it ADA. So they're looking at the elevator and the possibilities also to go, obviously, from the outside on 6th Street, maybe do one more level if we ever look at the swimming pool again to get access to people that have disabilities or hard moving around.
but...
I mean, we have, I mean, right now, it's possible, I mean, you can come in through the backside of the building, but it's not real convenient, so anybody would be looking to come to basketball games or anything like that, even in the auditorium, it just would give them maybe some easier access. And like you pointed out, a lot of these people have been, in McDonald for a long time, and maybe there is some thought process that needs to go into, you know, what we can do to help them have better access.
When Dan was the athletic director, he talked to the whole league and made them aware if they call, they would meet. And Dan and Kevin and Mr. O'Connell and Mr. Keir looking at a disability mat to put for parking only, just for games. So we're looking at a lot of options to help us till we get through the concrete position we're trying to do. Looking at parking out on the side there, moving it where they could possibly park by the
steps.
So there's a lot of things we're looking at. That's why engineers got to give us the specs to see what we can do or not do. But we can't ignore it. We're not ignoring it, but it's got to be done right once. So we're not going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to be wrong. But we've tried to be cordial to other people, but it's very difficult. But you've tried. I know that you've tried, and they've said that. So, and maybe we can come up with something better. And we talked about it. But we've talked about that for over a year. So
yeah.
Get some figures together what we're looking for.
And then a couple other items we talked about, the fire panel. Kevin, I don't know if you want to expand on that at the high school.
The fire panel at the high school, and we have an annunciator issue up at the elementary building that has not been able to be addressed by the current companies that are there. The annunciator is basically the device that would allow the fire department, if they came in and there was a fire that happens when nobody's there, obviously they wouldn't have any idea of where it started. An annunciator panel gives them that idea of where the sprinklers were set off, so they would know immediately where to address. That panel we're working on having that system replaced through Howland Alarm. The original panels and everything were put in were all proprietary software, proprietary technology. Unfortunately, when they installed them in 2003, I think the quote they told them at the time, from what I was told, was they gave you 1980s technology in 2003. So now, when you go to have those replaced or repaired, everybody looks at them like they're, it's almost like having a current person come in and try to figure out how to fix an Atari. They're looking at it saying, hey, it's time for you to step up. So unfortunately, you can't find that. And if we do find anything, we're still stuck into the proprietary issue where we cannot call in our own service techs. If we're unhappy with the work that's done, we don't have any options. So Howland Alarm is working on that project, is ready to go at the elementary school. The high school main fire panel is now out. So there was, from the moment that I started the past summer, there was obviously some serious alarm issues that we're trying to address. I have met with the fire chief multiple times, so he's working with us to make sure that we're doing everything from a safety standpoint. And he is committed that he'll work with Howland Alarm too to make sure this process goes as quickly as we can. They were in the building twice this week with our blueprints, taking them over to their architect so that they could take out the necessary permits to go ahead and start the process. To give you an idea, Howland Alarm to update the entire system at Roosevelt Elementary, the proposal was just under $10,000. The company that owns the proprietary panel here alone, when they found out our panel was gone, their quote was $16,000 for the panel alone. And that included nothing else being updated. So Howland Alarm is going to put a comprehensive package together. So if we do this, we're going to get the right equipment. We have options on our service side of it.
And then on top of that, we also talked about an issue I'm sure most people have experienced, parking. Whether you're a teacher here, whether you're coming for football games, there's not a whole lot of parking. So we were just talking about some different areas. We're talking about in front of the school. You know, is it possible? Does it make sense? Would it look right? You know, there's obviously the land up by the middle school. We talked about potentially putting a parking lot up there. That would obviously increase the parking we have for football as well as even for basketball. And then the hot topic, as expected, was the stadium improvements. The first eight things we talked about probably took us about a half hour. The football stadium, we probably spent about 45 minutes to an hour on. And for the most part, that was the only time we got any participation from the audience. Donna Shields and Gary Carquito had asked us about a timeline, you know, when we were going to make a decision for the property that we're looking at purchasing down 2nd Street. And I think the answer basically was, we don't necessarily have a time frame. We are still pursuing things. I don't know if John, you want to expand anything on that at this time?
Yeah, I mean, without going into specifics, I mean, the issues that we have encountered still remain, and we're working on them. Obviously, this is complex because there are a number of different parties involved whose interest don't necessarily line up with each other's as well as with ours. So it's been taking a lot of time, and understandably, people are frustrated at this. We are frustrated at this. It's just the nature of this project is so complex that it's just taking a lot more time than we ever anticipated. But we're still working on it, and we haven't gotten to the point where we've run all the traps and this is a no-go. So we're still trying to figure it out.
And I think that, I mean, Tom, unless you have something that you would like to add more about that.
I don't think they care about that field down there. They want it built here. They don't care about it. I don't care if they get it for free. They want it here. I could say it with most confidence. And they feel whatever we can do, tear down the stadium, build whatever's new, that's what they want. I guess that's what you're supposed to fight for here, the coach. We have a parking problem, though, that no matter where we build the field, we need parking for girls and pearls, guys and graduations, there's no parking. And we do have the aging community, the grandparents, it's getting tougher and tougher to get to these items. They don't come. Clearly, you had a great crowd for this football game. I was out of town, but Springfield and Sebring, between two of them, didn't bring 160 people. And Springfield's got a classy team. There's no place to park. And next year, we're a powerhouse. I mean, you have to be smart. I'll put you on the spot. This is your year, man. You got it all. And we want people to come and see our kids, our talented kids. There's no place to come.
I disagree, though, that parking is keeping people away from watching a football game.
Excuse me?
I disagree that parking is keeping people away from watching a football game.
I'll disagree with you on that. There's 60 people from Sebring, but I understand that there's less than 100 people from Springfield local that they have a chance to make the playoffs at the time. Why weren't they here?
We made almost $5,000.
I don't care. That might be McDonald people, but so nobody's who's just sitting over there just. Ghost? I mean, I'm up with you. Or I could go, I'm not going to argue there, but the last 5 years, our money has gone down, what we made in football. I have it. But that's not the point. The point is, disregarding football, we need them for graduation, we need them for other things besides football.
I don't disagree with any of you.
You said you just disagree with
that. I just disagree with one thing, that people are coming to football games still, regardless of parking.
Well, they must be standing in the sidelines. That's good enough.
Well, the parking beyond just the football. I mean, I think we had a discussion that night. I'm not sure who brought it up, but just when visitors are coming to our school, there's nowhere to park. Teachers, obviously. I don't know if you guys fight for parking spots. Somebody tries to come early, so you get a hot spot. I don't know how that works out. You have assigned parking.
Well, you don't want to leave in the middle of the day for any reason. When you come back, you get.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's definitely something that we need to look at. I mean, even at the thought of the front of the school, at first I was like, oh, no, that'd be silly, right? You don't want to destroy that nice picturesque scene. But if it makes sense at the end of the day, maybe that's what we need to do. I don't know that answer. But those were some of the topics for those of you who weren't here.
Mr. Capozzolo, if I get to say, I would let you know, I did reach out to the village officials on that because there was a question about could we have diagonal parking going into a street. They've done the research. Mr. Dimitrovich has worked with the acting chief as well as the mayor to look into that. There is nothing right now that says we can't do that. They have some concerns though over the flow of traffic on that road though. Everywhere from if we have parents pulling in there to park at the end of the day to pick up kids, then we're gonna not be able to let them park on the road where they're currently pulling over to the side. So we've gotta make sure we'd have to go through some ordinances with them if that's the direction the board chooses. But there was at least a willingness on their end to sit down with us. They even talked about having us at least have the conversation of it. Do you make that road one way? I'm not saying that's the right or wrong way, but that's
look at everything.
Some of the options that the village threw up. But there was a willingness to work with us on that side.
But the whole gist was the time frame. They want to know why it's not done right now. I'll say it as the other night. None of us wants to leave that area if we can fit everything in. It's a beautiful area. But you can't put a square peg into a round hole. Now, there's been the old MS consultants had six lanes. That was before they put the sidewalks in. Now, we have to think that may be done. The new engineer, and not in right view, says can't be done. They put a track in, at least a six-lane track, make it soccer-ready, et cetera. We also have a dilemma. We have the stadium needs some repair, but overall, they say it's in good shape. So we tear it down, we may have to. But what you guys want, I think we want. We got to make our mind up one way that we're going to do. We got to do it. As soon as we get the information, I think we're all prepared to make our decisions.
Joe, what I think I hear Joe saying is that regardless of what we do with the stadium project, the school itself needs more parking.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right. The discussion around that was, and it was Mr. Carquito, I think, that brought up a valid concern that when visitors come, mm-hmm. they don't even know where to park, where the front entrance is, mm-hmm. and there's some safety concerns. Mm-hmm. So there's multiple issues outside of any type of sporting event.
Right.
It really comes down to day-to-day operations mm-hmm. of the school. And I think what you're saying, too, what we're waiting on, I don't know how clear we made that we have reached out again to see if we could mm-hmm. potentially move the way that the stadium is sitting right now. If you could move it at an angle, that kind of thing. So that's kind of where we're at with the current property and what we're waiting on. Right?
Well, yeah, we're pursuing possibilities at the existing site, what we can potentially do there. While we're still trying to gather the information that John is looking into for basically the oil rights down there, correct? The mineral rights. So basically the church did not own the mineral rights. So we're still pursuing that until we have that information. I don't think we're willing to drop that. Well, I can't speak for
whatever we do, we got to do something about the lighting. It's terrible lighting. I mean, we got to do, and our restrooms, I think there's room for four people in the men's. I don't know about the girls. We've got to do something. This is when it was built in the 1950s, it was a great stadium. And quite frankly, the 1950s, I don't know if anybody ever had more than one car. And they built the mills, the homes are on 40-foot lots, no garages. Now people have two and three cars with their kids. So everything has changed. All we're trying to do is let's not make a decision today that in the same happens 10 or 20 years down where we're behind the eight ball again. Let's prepare so we have the option. If it be soccer, could grow and be wonderful. We should look for that. That's an obligation we have to every kid. But is the time frame going the way I want to? You know what my comment was. I'm not going to go into it, but it's got to be for everybody. If we're going to spend $500,000 or five, whatever it may be, we got to justify it to the taxpayers.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a big percentage of the money coming in at the end of the day. So we have to make sure that whatever we do, we look into thoroughly.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even with this property down there, we got to make sure before we move forward what's going on. But that's
what we talked about.
That would be all I have. Tom, unless you have anything else to add.
That's good.
Thank you. So our only item of business under building and grounds this evening is a resolution to approve the professional design services. A copy of that expanded resolution is attached as Exhibit C to the agenda. Upon the recommendation of the district superintendent, I call for a motion to approve the above resolution.
So moved.
You have a second?
Second.
Motion duly made by Mr. Capozzello and seconded by Mrs. Clace. Any discussion upon the motion?
Kevin, do we need to? Do you want to expand at all? What this is about, or is it not necessary? I mean,
basically at this point now, this is going to give authorization for Mr. Johnson and I to reach out to GPD and say we're ready to greenlight any of those projects that we talked about, such as the security cameras and the stage rigging. Would be two of the ones that I know we really put high priority on to move, because again, you're dealing with student safety issues. To give you a little more background on the stage rigging, I know there was also a comment made of we had an inspection. There's no record or no copy of any inspection that is here. So that even makes it more heightened to me that we want to move forward on that. So this will give an opportunity for Mr. Johnson and I to meet with GPD. They'll start that ball rolling of getting the permits, getting the bid ready, and bringing all that back to everybody.
Perfect.
Thank you. Hearing no other discussion, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mr. Capozzello?
Yes.
Mrs. Clace?
Yes.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Motion carries. Treasurer's report, anything else in addition to what you already provided? Thank you. Hearing none, we'll move to the superintendent report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wrote down a couple of things as we went through to the handicap basketball, just so I can make a note of that too. I know Mr. Crumpack and Mr. Curquino and I also sat down. So I wanted the residents to hear and we could start to spread that word. We have ordered 5 additional handicap parking spaces that we'll be able to put out for games only. And then obviously during the school days, we'll pull those right out. But we think that's important to put the handicap parking near the entrance that these guys will be able to use and use it conveniently. The back door where there's a ramp, we feel that that's the most natural entrance for handicap accessibility. You can also use the board office door. One of the concerns I have with that, though, is I think that meets the spirit of the law and to say, is the building handicap accessible? I don't think if someone came in and tried to come to a basketball game and found a locked door, I think we're in trouble. We need to man that door during basketball games. We need to make sure that there's somebody there and leave that door open and accessible for those people to get up and use those ramps. And we've also talked about using signage to show them where to go once they get into the building so they know. Well, some people do, but visitors don't. So they got to know to take a left when they get to the end of the hallway and how to get in there. So it's something we're going to take a look at because we want to do everything we can to make sure we're, you know, making it as accessible as possible. So, but the handicap parking signs have been ordered, and we will be ready to go for that by the first game. A couple of things I wrote down. You have your building reports for both the high school and the elementary building. So if there's any questions, please feel free to ask me on that. The couple of awards were given out at the Eastern Ohio Education Partnership Luncheon that was held last week. So I wanted to just take a minute and tell you about the awards. At the high school here, there was an award given for 50% minimum of our graduating seniors in 2015 were enrolled in college within 2 years. They also received an award for having 20% minimum of the 2017 seniors earning 3 or more dual credits. So obviously they're taking the College Credit Plus and working through those avenues. There was also an award given to the high school for a minimum of 5% seniors with 12 industry recognized credentials in one of 13 high demand fields. So that's another thing to be important about, and I think that would tie to a lot of the work that's being done at the TCTC. So those were 3 awards, so we're proud of those. Roosevelt Elementary did receive one award as well. They received an award for 95% average attendance or higher last school year, which from a teacher perspective, that is obviously the first battle every day is if they're in front of you. So that's something to be happy about there too. A couple of the things that I wanted to highlight that have been going on, I know when we purchased the new Chromebooks, one of the things we talked about extensively was making sure that we're using these on a day-to-day basis and then highlighting what we are doing with them. So I know a couple weeks ago I forwarded you guys a copy of the new school newsletter that was printed. I haven't been able to even have someone tell me the last time the school actually had an official newspaper. I mean, this could go back a lot further than anybody could put a date to right now. So it's exciting. I think Mr. Backer's class, and I went up and visited those kids up in their 8th period class. This software, they had it for 2 weeks, and they were able to publish this issue. So I can't wait to see what they're able to do once they have, you know, full knowledge of the equipment and full knowledge of what they could put together. But it was great to see all the kids and all the programs and everything that they featured inside of this. So when I think about this program, coupling that with our new website, I think those are the kind of communication tools that are really going to be able to, you know, tell the story of what we have going on here. So I want to congratulate Mr. Backer and his class for all the work they did there. Thursday, October 12th, Guys in Ties, Girls in Pearls was held here at the high school. I think it kind of goes without saying. I think everybody on this board has had a chance to see Mrs. Woodford and her shows that she puts on. So I want to congratulate her and all the kids, 5th and 6th grade. And every year, the last part of that show, she also invites any alumni that have ever performed in that show. So it's a neat thing to be able to go and watch those kids all the way up to even seniors going back on that stage. We probably have a couple of them back there right now that I don't know if they went up or not, but we'll find out. So thank you to Mrs. Woodford. A couple of sports notes. Obviously, big weekend coming up here. Football team, last game here with Lowville. So I know with the win here, it's a co-championship in the first year of the new league. So we're excited about that. Cross-country team, both won the district championships, boys and girls, this past Saturday at Trumbull County. And so they'll both be moving on to regionals Saturday at Boardman. unfortunately, I think for the first meet all year, we might be looking at some wet, rainy conditions, but I know our kids will be prepared for that. So I want to congratulate them. We have Meet the Candidates night that I know Ms. Rozzo is working hard on to get that prepared. So that is scheduled for Monday, October 30th. There was a change in that schedule. It could be due to a conflict with the village council meeting. You also have a flyer in front of you for Veterans Day breakfast, which will be held on Thursday, November 9th at 9 a.m. The last thing that I had on my sheet, and I'll make sure I pass these down if you don't mind, Mr. Henry, too. I emailed you guys out a copy of the strategic plan. One of the things that I think it's absolutely essential that the school district moves towards is having a mission statement, some guiding principles, and then picking goals that we can work through. Right now, I think we've got a lot of great individuals all trying to do the best they can, but there's not a common sense of where we're going and what our mission is. So what I've asked from the board's sake is if there's any feedback they'd like to give. Right now, the administration's working on these and providing that feedback. Then the plan is to then move to the teachers, start to develop what we call like a district A team of bringing those groups together, but then also putting these out to parents, as well as having students fill some of these. So we really want to get a response from a wide variety of people, but find a mission statement. And a mission statement for us doesn't have to be 2-3 paragraphs long. Sometimes it could be a simple sentence, 2 sentences. The guiding principles is something that we need to remain focused on as educators. And then our goal is to pick probably anywhere from 3 to 5, no more than 5, strategic goals that we're going to work towards over a 3 to 5 year period. So our goal is then when purchases come up, they want technology, we want to go to conferences, we want to move, we want to make sure that everything falls back to this strategic plan. If it doesn't fit the strategic plan, we've got to move in a different direction. So I think this is a really important document. I know something that we've been looking at, I know something that the board has been looking for this. So I definitely appreciate any help and feedback you guys have on that. That's all I have.
Thank you. Do we have any items for board discussion? Hearing none, then I guess it's time.
Tom Hart, does he have to give a report?
No, he's done. He's just here for fun tonight. So at this time, we would entertain a motion to go into executive session at 7:57 p.m. And as previously stated, it's for items A2, 7, and B. This time we'll entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion duly made by Mrs. Higgins and seconded by Mrs. Kleiss. Is there any discussion upon the motion? Hearing none, we'll vote upon the motion as presented.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. Kleiss?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mr. Capozzolo?
Yes.
Mr. Saginaw?
Yes.
5 yes votes.
Motion carries. We'll enter an executive session. And again, as I said previously, there will be no business conducted when we emerge from executive session.